Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. My name's Todd. I'm one of the pastors at First Family Church. And man, it is great to be back with you all. I've been gone for a number of weeks on a writing sabbatical. I'm back and I'm excited not only to be back with our faith family and the flock here, but also back on the Extra Point Podcast. And as always, our goal is to bring some extra insight, additional observation, further application from and into the text from which we preached the previous week. Today's no exception. Today's November 5th, Tuesday, and I'll be taking somewhat of a political perspective on the question or the issue at hand from our text last Sunday. If you were there, you know we preached through the book of Obadiah, and I mentioned to you in that sermon that I would bring some further thoughts on the day of the Lord. And of course, I told you in that sermon that typically people assume or they think the day of the Lord happened after Christ's first coming or after his second coming. And then I mentioned I'd say more about it on this podcast. Well, let me say more about it now since we're on the podcast, right? And the reason I want to take a political stance or angle on this is because I think a better answer is that the phrase, the day of the Lord, can be applied to both. So that's pretty political. Instead of taking a stand on one or the other, I'm going to straddle that fence and say both, right? So maybe it's a good day to do that since it is voting day. But let me explain what I mean. I think you'll understand and hopefully even agree with this. The phrase, the day of the Lord, is actually used multiple times in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, and it refers to a time of judgment and then restoration. And I will admit to you, I think the restoration, recreation aspect is primarily used concerning the final day of the Lord. The ones prior to that are more about judgment. Still, there is the concept of judgment and restoration, or you could say judgment and recreation. You could even say judgment, resurrection. Those themes are connected to the mentions of the phrase, the day of the Lord. And here's what we find in Scripture, that there is an ultimate day of the Lord, and it's a culminating event. And then there are what we call penultimate days of the Lord, and those are anticipating events. In other words, there are days of the Lord that represent or foreshadow the ultimate day of the Lord. So that's why I say, I think you can say that you find the day of the Lord, or you could even say the days of the Lord after his first coming and after his second coming. In fact, I would say you may find one even before his first coming. So let's talk about that a bit, because there is a final, ultimate, we could even say capstone or singular day of the Lord, but there are perhaps a few other penultimate or foreshadowing days of the Lord. And let me just tell you what some people think may be days of the Lord, the ones before the ultimate day of the Lord. Some see the destruction of Jerusalem as a day of the Lord, judgment upon Israel, 586. It's a culminating type of moment. Jerusalem is ransacked and besieged by Babylon. There are others who see that perhaps judgment on the nations in the Old Testament as a day of the Lord, and some of these dates vary, but perhaps the destruction of some of these nations who were part of attacking Jerusalem when they were destroyed, perhaps that was a day of the Lord because it involves a judgment upon the nations. If so, those would be a days or a day of the Lord that occurred before his first coming. Of course, Christ then does come, and then after his first coming, there are about two events that some see as a day of the Lord. One is his crucifixion, and they see the judgment upon Christ as the payment for sin, and yet the recreation or even the resurrection as the sign of new life. Some also see the destruction of the temple, and I would be in this category. I see that as a day of the Lord, a penultimate or a foreshadowing one, but no doubt one that has a lot of cataclysmic language about it. I think it's Mark 13, Mark 12, Matthew 24 and 25. A lot of the language there is language that is typical of day of the Lord language. And so if those are days of the Lord, the crucifixion and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, you have two foreshadowing days of the Lord that picture the ultimate day of the Lord, which I believe will occur. And you could say after his second coming, I believe it will be at his second coming. So let me walk you through some of that briefly. If you believe there is a rapture that occurs and then a 7-year period before the millennium begins, you're probably going to believe that the day of the Lord is at the end of that 7-year period. And you probably believe that the day of the Lord may include a good portion of that 7-year period. In fact, most folks who hold to this view would probably believe that the day of the Lord is more like an extended period of time, and the word day is used to describe it, and it culminates at the end of a 7-year tribulation period in which Jews are the focus and the Lord comes and rescues his people by judging their enemies. So that's one view. They would say that's after his second coming, and they would literally say 7 years after his second coming. I hold to the view that we will probably go through the tribulation. That's my view. And that the day of the Lord occurs at his second coming. And so when Christ comes, he judges, he comes, he restores, the kingdom is brought. And so that's why I say it's probably both. There are some penultimate days of the Lord that foreshadow and lead to the ultimate day of the Lord, which is at his second coming. Now, because I do believe we'll be caught up in the air, and then we will immediately come with the Lord to the earth, and that's when the judgment occurs, the day of the Lord upon his enemies and those who oppose his covenant people, I can still say it occurs after his coming, because the coming of the Lord is in the clouds. We meet him in the air, and then we come immediately, of course, with him to the earth, and then the judgment occurs. So I'm comfortable saying I believe the day of the Lord is after his coming, though I would say it's immediately or almost simultaneously at his coming. It's not after a 7-year period. At least that's where I land. And there are good people who hold different views on this. No need to argue or debate the timing in a way that brings division, but we can at least admit we differ on it. And so that's why I hold to the view that there are some foreshadowing days of the Lord pictured in the Old and New Testament, and they picture for us what's going to occur at Christ's second coming, or just seconds after his second coming, when he delivers judgment upon his enemies, rescues his covenant people, and sets up his kingdom. You can also use these words inaugurate and consummate. Those are words we use in light of the already not yet view of the kingdom that we hold to, that I believe, that at Christ's first coming, he inaugurated the kingdom. At his second coming, he will consummate the kingdom. That will be the ultimate or capstone or final day of the Lord. There are ones preceding it that typify or picture or foreshadow it, but there is one final one, and it will be the one that consummates the kingdom that was inaugurated at his first coming. So we would say what was inaugurated at his first coming is the kingdom, and it's already in place. He is reigning, but he's reigning in heaven. When he comes, he'll reign on heaven and earth, and that will consummate the kingdom. And that's when the day of the Lord will occur. So there are other views. There are other ways to view the days of the Lord. That's where I land. And so that helps explain more about why I said most people see it as occurring after his first coming or after his second coming. I would be in the group that says it's after his second coming, but not 7 years after. I believe it's just moments after, if not seconds after his second coming, when he comes to the earth with his people and judges the earth and consummates his kingdom. So that's just a little bit about the day of the Lord. If I were to summarize it and say, hey, what if you didn't want to worry about those exact timings and the, you know, different periods of years? How would you describe it? I would say, again, the day of the Lord is a final event that has been foreshadowed and typed, so to speak, by previous days of the Lord. And they occur either in the middle of his comings or just before his first coming. And all of the penultimate days of the Lord are a foreshadowing of the ultimate day of the Lord. And so just be aware that's some more understanding, a little more unpacking of that phrase. Hope it helps. If you were to try to pin me down, I would say there is one ultimate day of the Lord, and it occurs at His second coming.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.